Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, rolling along on this Tuesday afternoon, Bart and Han on 98.7 ESPN New York. Pat O'Keefe in for Alan this week alongside Bart. So the stretch run of the NBA season set to resume on Thursday. The Nets, since we were last together yesterday, Bart announced that Kevin Ollie will be the interim head coach, replacing the fired Jacque Vaughn. Ollie, of course, won the national championship with the University of Connecticut in 2014, longtime NBA veteran. But you raised an interesting point before the break. Who of those three stars? And the caller, you know, his beef was that Damian Lillard and James Harden and Russell Westbrook, he said, have already been recognized as top 75 all-time players. Look,
It's going to be another list.
There will be in 23 years.
Yeah.
It's a moment in time because you know who's not on that list because of when it came out 2 years ago?
Klay.
He could have been on the list and he could have gotten the Dame spot and I probably would have given it to him. But Jokic isn't on that list because at that point, Jokic had only 4 years in the league. Fast forward till now, he's won two MVPs and he's won the NBA Finals MVPs. If they made that list today, Nikola Jokic is on that list. So it's a moment in time. I don't begrudge and I wouldn't penalize those guys. Lillard, first of all, Lillard hasn't team jumped his entire career. This is his second team. Harden has. Russell Westbrook has. But like I said, Westbrook wasn't of his own volition. He just kept getting traded.
Yeah, this is late in his career. He's a guy that's, you know, coming off the bench. Like, same way Melo. You don't fault Melo for what happened the last 5 years.
You think of Melo's career, you think of two teams. You know, you don't think of Portland. You don't think of the Lakers. You don't think of Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
Right. But with James Harden, it obviously we know the story, and that's a big part of his story. But these guys are also playing in an era where they're not the only ones that are doing that. That's just how the business of basketball is done. So you can't penalize those guys for playing within the rules at the time that they're active NBA players. But your question of those three superstars, Durant, Harden, and Damian Lillard, who's under the most pressure? I think it's Kevin Durant, just because his place historically in the NBA is on a higher plane than the other two. Let's hear from you. 1-800-919-3776. Go to Fred in Jersey City. Fred, what's happening? Fred, are you there?
Hi. Hey, Bart, huh? Can you guys hear me?
Yep.
We got you, Fred.
Hey, so I was just, you know, listening to you guys. And Kevin Durant, you know, he was under a lot of scrutiny and, you know, a lot of backlash when he went to Golden City. To Golden State. And obviously, the pressure is on him because if we think about it, if he goes his whole career and not wins another championship anywhere else, everything everyone said about him would be right. He needed to team up and he needed to be a number two to Steph to win. So I think.
But Fred, how was he number two when he was the best player on the team? He also won the MVP. Like he was the best player on that team. He's what made them special. Yes, they won championship without him before he got there, but he was the best player there, so I don't understand the narrative with that. I mean, LeBron.
I disagree.
Okay, he wasn't the best player.
They won before him and they went after him.
I understand that, but he wasn't when he was there. The two championships that they won, it's his ability to do what he did. He was the best player on the court, better than LeBron, better than Steph. He was the best player on the court, and he showed.
He was the best player on the court in both of those NBA Finals. He won the NBA Finals MVP,
and he's the MVP by himself.
Well, not on that team.
No, I'm saying he's won an MVP.
Yes.
What I'm saying is his resume. The other two has never won a championship.
Right. But the other so who do you think's under the most pressure?
I think it's Dame, because we found every excuse and the reason he goes to a team that won a championship. He's on a team with a top five player. I think it's Dame, because we've made the excuses for him. The same way I made excuses for Matthew Stafford. About I thought he was elite. He left Detroit, went to the Rams, won a championship. Case closed. Yeah.
Dame has no excuses now. But he also asked for...
And he's in a weaker conference.
Yeah, he also asked for the most ideal situation you could find. I mean, he wanted to go to Miami because that was the most ideal situation. That would take
him in a championship.
Yeah, that would take the most amount of pressure off of him. This is probably, in terms of pressure on him, in terms of who his teammates are, this is a nice second option, having one of the top five players in the NBA to play alongside. I think there's a lot of pressure, but I also think that you said you think Durant's the furthest away from winning a title. I think Dame's the furthest away. I think the Bucks have some serious... I think the Suns last year in that second round series, and this is before they got Bradley Beal, in that second round series against Denver when they were tied two games apiece, you saw some signs from Booker and Durant together that if they were given a little bit of help and depth...
They got no depth and they can't play defense.
They have a third guy now, and they've played very well. Of course, Beal's in and out of the lineup again. They've played very well since he came.
Beal back always. I know. They playing my boy Bobo. Like, come on, man. Bobo's playing real minutes. Like, I think when you look at a team that got disappointed last year with Giannis, but that's a deep team. Middleton, when healthy, is still a star.
When healthy.
Brooke Lopez gives you size.
Yes.
Porter gives you size and shooting.
Porter's, yeah.
You know, that's one of the best rosters. Tell me, like, if we would consider them the second best team in the Western Conference.
Milwaukee?
Yeah.
You think so?
I think so.
No, I don't think so.
I know they're not winning right now, but you would think they were just second best, especially with Embiid being injured.
In the Eastern Conference.
Yes, in
I'm
the Eastern
sorry,
Conference.
I thought you said the Western Conference.
No, in the Eastern Conference.
Okay.
Where would you place Phoenix in the Western Conference?
Fifth.
So how do they have the best chance?
Because you still got to win the championship when you get to the finals.
But you got
to
get there.
You got to get there, yeah.
And like they got to get through. You know,
but is Milwaukee definitely number two? I mean, can you place? You can make a strong argument that the Knicks, when healthy, are better than them. There's something missing with this Bucks team this year, and Dame's a big part of the reason why. It's his defensive deficiencies, and it's kind of changed the whole structure of what they do. They were a defensively their identity was defense. They were one of the top defensive teams in the NBA, and now all of a sudden you get rid of Drew and you bring in Dame, and you're one of the worst defensive teams in the NBA.
I think also too, Brooke Lopez had a full year the year prior, coming off an injury, so he was well rested. So defensively, the guys are older. You got an older team. They really can't compete with a lot of young guys who are up and down the floor running.
Yeah.
And that's what most of these teams are doing.
Yeah.
They're just running.
But really is Indiana, right, that has gave the blueprint to how to beat
they
the
did.
Bucks.
They've beaten them four times this year.
Well, they just isolate, you know, Brooke Lopez and put him in a pick and roll. But still, you have to say that they're the number two team in the Eastern Conference right now.
I get locked in on talking to you, and I like when Jacob kind of jumps in off the top rope into the fray and makes his point. I like that.
It's like Mustafa talking. It's like Mustafa talking, coming from the heavens.
Let's go to LJ in the car. What's up, LJ?
Yes, hello. Good afternoon, gentlemen. One quick note. I met Jordan while he was in the middle of his heyday. I shook his hand and got his autograph. But one of the other reasons I think Jordan is much better than LeBron is because he would not have put up
because he shook your
with
hand.
What happened. I shook his hand and I met him, so not just seeing him. But I'm just saying, Jordan would not have put up with what happened in the NBA All-Star game this year or the year before.
But
that's another reason why there's no comparison between him and LeBron.
Well, no. But we can't just let you live with that. Society's different, right? The world's different, right? So, like, it's hard. Listen, I understand it's hard for us to understand how these new kids think because we aren't them. They grow up differently. They grow up in AAU. LeBron, it kind of came up totally different. So it's hard to say what you wouldn't do or couldn't do if Jordan was there because it's, you know, I'm sure Bill Russell was like, hey, man, I would never have allowed this. Like, you know, free agency, you sign a contract, you stay here. There's no such thing as hold out. Like, Bill Russell would have some different things to say, but that was a different time in the world. He played in the 60s and 70s. That's a different world, man. I wonder if he. I was going to ask him, did he wash his that hand?
doesn't sound like he did.
Like, no.
Listen, I
wear a glove.
I've never shook Jordan's hand or met Michael Jordan.
Did you ever touch the back of LeBron James' ball spot?
I did not.
Oh, okay. I'm just asking. You
so
know.
I can't give an honest opinion on either of this right now. Who would be better in the All-Star game?
I shook Jordan's hand.
Therefore,
I felt the greatness go through my body. When I went home, I made love to my woman better. I cooked better. I dressed better. The swag has never wore off.
You good?
Yeah, I'm
good. This portion of the show is brought to you by Tullamore Dew.
I touched the hem of his garment.
Because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cask matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew Honey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. Let's go to Dave in the car. What's up, Dave?
Hey, what's up, guys? I'm just going to bounce this off of you, let me just say something before I throw my question out there. Bart, I remember watching a football game. I didn't know a lot about you. I knew of you. I knew you were a great player. You intercepted the ball. Your helmet flew off. You still ducked your head to crack into the guy without your helmet on. You remember that play?
And that's how I roll, baby. I only had like one interception in my life. Oh, I'm just playing. Yeah, no, I remember, bro. Go ahead.
Here's why I'm giving the context. Here's how I want to put it into the proper context. I think that there's an element of softness that's hitting sports right now across the board, especially in the NBA, at a very critical time. What makes the time critical is a couple of things. A lot of people are watching, particularly the youth. I was born and raised in New York. I've been in the Rutgers tournament plenty of times. Trust me, there are a lot of young guys looking at the NBA right now. They're seeing a lot of softness. That's number one. Number two, so we have to look at the aspect of how it's being seen by other generations coming up. The second thing is, now that you have full-on gambling in sports, there's something to be said for a player going out there and having a poker face. And you would know, Bart, there's a lot of football players who are going out there who are in a lot of pain day in and day out, and they suck it up and they play and they raise their level of play. Now, I'm not worshiping that 100%, but what I'm saying is, you're going to start losing confidence of fans wanting to partake and have real interest in the sport, especially fans who are actually putting a lot of money in it. What are your thoughts about what I just said? Thanks.
Okay, so Dave, don't go anywhere, right? So you have any kids?
Yeah, I have two kids.
You have two kids. So you know exactly how soft these kids are, man. Like,
I do.
Society is soft. It's not just the athletes. The society is soft.
Yes.
Like, you yell at your kids, yes, they ready to call Child Protective Services, talking about they want to be removed from the home. Like, you coach
a kid. It's a different time. I understand.
You coach a kid hard, tell him to get a lap because he keep messing up. He wants to quit. He start crying. You got to have a conference with his parents. Like, you don't play a kid. Listen, I was a coach of a little league team, right? And at certain times, I was like, everybody's supposed to play. And I wouldn't play certain kids when we were playing certain teams. And parents would get mad. And I put little Jimmy out there. Little Jimmy get his ass knocked out, get a concussion. And now they want to look at me. Like, I didn't put your kid out there because I knew what was going to happen. But you want your kid to go out there and play. But we're at the point now where everybody gets a participation trophy. We're at the point now where you don't have to earn
it.
You don't have to earn anything. Right, you don't have to earn anything. Right, it used to be that when you get cut from a team, a la Michael Jordan, you go off and work your ass off in the darkness and come back and shine
and
in the light and show them what time it
there
is.
There you go.
Now,
I agree.
You have to put kids out there. So it's not the kids that are soft; it's the parents that's soft, because we have allowed it to happen because we didn't want what our parents put us through, whooping our ass, putting us on punishment, holding us accountable for our actions, making us have respect for our elders, and make sure that you address adults the right way. You don't get in adults' business. We didn't want to treat our kids the way our parents treated us, but now we're starting to see what the value was in that, because if our parents didn't treat us like that, then we wouldn't be the people that we were. But then we don't treat our kids like that, so then they don't respond that way. So when they want to have load management days, it's our fault, because Vince Lombardi once said, the reason why football is is the best subject being taught in sports, in school, is because it's the only thing that we don't try to make easy. And now we've tried to make football easy, because now we tackle donuts instead of people. We don't go padded practices, two practices in a row. And now the fact that these guys can't they can't survive a whole season, or they get tired, so says Michael Parsons, is because we don't make practice hard, so the game is tough. So it's our fault that we got these soft-ass kids and these soft-ass athletes because we've made life and practice easy for them instead of telling them, hey, man, football is hard. That's why you get paid all the money. So either deal with the toughness of it and quit complaining to your unions about tackling donuts and coaches practicing me too hard. And then when you get back in the game and you got to talk to a real person and not a rolling donut or a rolling robot, you realize that boards hit back. So it's your fault.
It's our fault.
Yeah.
We're all parents.
I'm saying y'all, because my kids, I just say, hey, you can't come with that weak, soft stuff to me.
So if your son's in the NBA All-Star game, say in 10 years, he's not coming into his first or second experience in the All-Star game like an Anthony Edwards saying, yeah, this is just an exhibition. I don't want to play hard anyway.
Yeah, what is this, Rocky IV?
That's what we've got now.
No, my kid is
Drago. This is supposed to be an exhibition.
No. Yeah, and my kid is Drago.
Spit flying?
Yeah, and my kid is Drago. Yeah. See, I be the real champion. I must break you. That's my kid. Sweep the leg.
It's the trickle down. It's funny because we've been talking about this All-Star game for 2 days now.
Yeah, it's our fault, man. We've allowed it. It didn't happen overnight. It happened over a five-year period.
And they still, they gave, and I don't think that this was a bad thing that they do, but they gave LeBron, who kind of led the charge on this, the extra break during the All-Star festivities. Oh. You know, they used to be back playing tonight, right? Mm-hmm. Now they're not back till playing on Thursday. But, you know, you give and you give and you give. It just doesn't seem like what the league needs or what the league wants is getting returned to them. And all they want is just a modicum of effort. Keep the I mean, these guys are smart. These guys are businessmen. These guys are smart. Keep the game close enough. Give us 8 minutes in the fourth quarter, your best five against your best five. That's literally all people want.
Listen, when I was playing and it was All-Star games, you know what made the difference in who played hard and who didn't? The winning team got one thing and the losing team got another. So rather you have to cater to these athletes' competitive nature. And it's not the difference that, okay, we can't pay for it. Just the fact that the winner gets more money than the loser is enough. It's enough incentive. It's when like, you know, you make it so crazy. Like, the winner, let's just say, I don't know what they get paid. The winner gets, everybody get $500,000. Okay, let's say that. The loser get $100,000. Watch them play different.
Yeah, but when you're playing in the NFL Pro Bowl, I'm just saying, and this is me not having made that kind of money ever. But when you're in the NFL Pro Bowl, you've got guys out there who, some of them, their careers probably last 4 or 5 seasons. You got, what, 100 guys in the Pro Bowl that year? Not everybody is making $20 million. The lowest paid guy in that All-Star game this weekend is guaranteed to make, everyone in that game is guaranteed to make $100 million.
So tell me this. Why the hell they play so damn hard for the play-in tournament?
Well, it's partially included in the regular season.
But it's because money was involved. Like, listen.
It's not just the money,
listen,
though.
Listen. But I've seen guys
played harder in the play-in tournament than they did in other regular season games.
Yeah, they did. LeBron was actively trying to hang a banner. Like, stop it. Like, they were playing, they were going hard because that's the competitive nature.
I was in the building for that banner raising that night. In fact, it was very emotional.
That's what I'm saying. These people, these players are extremely competitive. You want to see some funny stuff? Like, go to a bowling alley with a bunch of athletes or watch the games that we play in the locker room. Like, we used to stack up. See that garbage can over there?
Yeah.
We would take 3 of those, stack it up, and put that garbage can there.
Yeah.
We would take a thing of, pre-wrap, roll it up into a ball.
Okay.
Put it against the wall. You would have 20 people over there, $100 a shot. Now, all it is, remember, it's 20 people. It's $2,000 a shot. Every time you hit one, that's $100. And then the other person goes. But then what happens is you get people start missing. You think they quit? No. They go get more cash.
But that's a trophy. The cash is a trophy.
The fact, right. And if you put money in a disparity of the winning team and the losing team, just the fact that I'm going to get more cash than you. It ain't about the amount. It's the fact that I get more than you. And that's when the competitive nature turns on. We also used to go to the bowling alley. And athletes think they can do everything good, no matter what.
Yes.
And they can't. and we would go $100 a ball. You had to strike or spare. $100 a ball, and you betting everybody in there. I've seen guys buy cars. You have to lean to their competitive nature, and it only means something to them if money's on the line or something that they value, like a trophy's on the line. Like when it was the Pro Bowls, people wanted to – they didn't care about the money. They just knew that if they won, then they'll be able to pay all their expenses for, like, all the people and family members that they flew out and all the money that they blew during the weekend.
Yeah, but I think you would agree that the people who are in the Pro Bowls, except for the highest paid players, even now are not guaranteed the guys that are in the NBA All-Star game right now, they never have to worry about money again. There's guys in the Pro Bowl that are going to have to worry about it.
Okay, let's pull up who went to the Pro Bowl this year.
There's 100 guys. There's got to be some of them that are not going to retire with $100 million in the bank. It's a different sport.
Listen, that statement used to be true. Not anymore.
All right.
Because
but I'm talking about when you were playing.
Patrick Mahomes makes a kabillion dollars, right?
Right. That's one guy. That's the top guy.
You want to go through the Pro Bowl roster and see what those guys are making?
But I'm talking about when you were playing, Bart. You're using the example when you were playing 15 years ago. Yeah. Not all those guys in your Pro Bowl when you were playing are as comfortable in retirement as you are. I guarantee it.
Yeah, they were.
Every one of them out of 100?
If I pull them up, Chris McCallister made $70 million in one contract, right? And then he had three contracts. So everybody there made close to $100 million.
Every one out of 100 guys?
If I pull that roster up, let's pull the 2000. Right. That's what we're going to do during the break. We're going to pull up the 2000.
Well, first we're going to stack the garbage cans. I'm going $100 shot for shot from you. Then we're going to pull up the roster.
See, that's the thing. Once you start, you can't leave. That's the whole thing. Ain't no like, oh, okay, I'm up. I'm running back.
I'm swimming in the deep waters now, guys. I don't know if I want to go through with this. We'll break. We'll take a look at that because I'm curious to see. Audio files is coming up. Your calls, 1-800-919-3776. Barton Hahn on 98.7 ESPN New York.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
My argument, my theory did not hold up during the break. We went through the entire roster of the 2006 Pro Bowl for both teams, and I don't think I could find a single one that's struggling right now, or at least should be struggling. Maybe they are, but if they are, it's their own fault, not the contracts that they signed during their career. All right, so I stand corrected. I would have thought it would have been a little different in a sport like football. You know, you catch a guy on the right season who, happened to have the season of his career and flamed out 2 years later.
Yeah, Troy Polamalu is definitely still spending head and shoulders money.
Well, yeah, that's true. Well, because a lot of the guys, how about Jeremy Shockey?
Jeremy Shockey made cheese. He's still making money off his Super Bowl.
How's he making money off his Super Bowl?
You don't think he's signing stuff?
Which Super Bowl? He's got two Super Bowl rings. Remember, there was the one that he was drinking up in the booth?
That's what I'm saying.
And then the one he actually played.
I mean, Dwight Freeney, Jason Taylor, Champ Bailey.
I'm taking the L on this one.
It's Derek, Joey Porter made $1 billion.
Yeah. How'd Drew Brees do?
Zach Thomas, Antonio Gates.
Brian Urlacher, even the kickers. Even Robbie Gould is still getting paid.
Yeah, Marvin Harrison, probably his son's agent. He about to get another $1 billion.
10% is 10%. This portion of the show is brought to you by Tullamore Dew, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cask matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew Honey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. You got audio files coming up. Let's get a quick call in here. D in Queens. Hey, D.
Listen, you keep blaming the people talking about they soft, but if I'm a player, I do the same thing. You guys diminish players. There are Knicks fans who don't even care about the regular season because they're like, we're not going to win the championship, so it don't matter. You guys have diminished great players because they don't have championships. So if I'm a player, why am I going hard for anything in the regular season? I'm going to wait for the playoffs. Because you guys straight up say that out your mouth. It doesn't matter.
Because
you guys say that out your mouth.
Aren't you trying to get proper seating so you don't get your ass exited in the first round? That's what we just talked about, right? You don't want to be the fourth seed to go with Boston. So the regular season does matter when you talk about seating, because you want to make sure that you can avoid certain matchups early on. So we haven't diminished it that much.
Guys don't want to be in a play-in. I do nothing extra. Nothing for the All-Star game. All-Star game. I want to go hard.
Then don't go.
I want to go on Embiid. You guys bullied. Embiid, and his season might be over.
We didn't say
who bullied Embiid.
We didn't say anything about going hard. We said going hard as hard as you go when you play pickup games in the offseason. We didn't say go hard. That was not going at all.
Yeah, there's a fine line, D, between what we saw and actually putting up a modicum of effort.
I didn't say challenge people at the rim.
And I love the new narrative. We bullied Embiid into playing.
Yeah, we bullied Embiid.
So we'll take this one. But what about 2023, 2022, 2021, 2020, 2019? What about his six previous flameouts in the playoffs? Were those our fault too? Or just this one?
It is not only that. It's the NBA constituted the rule because guys were taking games off for load management. But yeah, it's the media's fault.
It's the media's fault. It's the government. All right. 1:30. You know what that means? It's time for us to step aside momentarily and hear from some of the newsmakers throughout the world of sports. It is time for
Audio Files.
The Audio File.
All right, so we heard from Micah Parsons during the show yesterday, Bart, and that led to a conversation about his leadership. Or lack thereof, is one of the best players in the NFL. Another clip of Micah Parsons on the Stephen A. Smith show. You know, a big part of the offseason for the Dallas Cowboys has been disrespect that their Pro Bowl quarterback has received. Slings and arrows towards Dak Prescott from family members of certain members of the Dallas Cowboys. Here's Parsons.
Said Michael Parsons.
Here's Parsons talking about all of Dak Prescott's myriad accomplishments.
Besides Patrick Mahomes, what other quarterback in the AFC has accomplished anything to get more credit than Dak?
Joe Flacco, Josh Allen.
Did he finish?
No, but they got further.
It doesn't matter how far you get. If you're going home and you're not tearing the ring, it doesn't matter.
So you go to the NFC Championship.
It doesn't matter. If we get sent home, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
That's no difference.
It doesn't matter.
Getting bounced in a wild card game?
It's no difference.
Oh, come on, man. That's ridiculous.
You're just getting more hope. More hope. But if you are not the Super Bowl champion, it does not matter what you've accomplished. It doesn't matter if you're an MVP, Defensive Player of the Year. It doesn't matter. If you're not the Super Bowl champion, it doesn't matter. You haven't accomplished anything.
Yeah, he's going to get somebody fired. Losing a wild card next year if you're Dallas, everybody gets fired. Go to the NFC Championship, everybody keeps their job. So it means it's a difference. It's called progress. You guys have been a flat line since the 90s. Once again, at 24, he believes that he's seen it all and done it all. When Michael Parsons is on his way out this league, he's going to be squeamish when he looks at some of the comments that the 24-year-old said. It's like when you go talk to your nieces and nephews, and they say, I love her. I'm going to be with her.
Okay.
And you're saying, bro, you guys are going to the prom. You know how many other girlfriends you're going to have? But I love her. Bro, stop.
Soulmates.
You can find true love at, like, kid, like, stop it.
Stop it.
He don't know that he don't know. And it's annoying. Because he won't listen. And I tell my nephews and my kids all the time. To you, it's a new movie. To me, it's just a rerun. Mm-hmm.
Experience.
I've seen this a million times, kid. That girl gonna have you crying.
If I could just bring what we heard from Micah Parsons back to our previous caller, who blamed the media, specifically you and me, Bart, for making the regular seasons in sports irrelevant. If I'm not mistaken, what I just heard Micah Parsons do was make the entire postseason irrelevant, too. If you don't win the Super Bowl, nothing else matters. So how is it the media's fault that the regular season's irrelevant, but Micah Parsons just made not only the regular season, but also the postseason irrelevant?
And Dak has accomplished with all those guys have done. He's been in the league 8 years. Joe Burrow took the Bengals to the Super Bowl, I believe, his second or third year?
Second year and almost his third year.
In his second year. And it's no difference between what Joe Burrow has accomplished and what Patrick Mahomes has accomplished. Or Josh Allen.
How about Lamar Jackson?
Or Lamar Jackson, two-time MVP of the league. Yeah, him and Dak Prescott has the same amount of accomplishments. Come on, man.
Sounds like the Dak Prescott makeup tour is underway.
With leadership like that. Why did Michael Parsons tell his brother that?
Yeah.
Because clearly his brother don't know that either. That, you know, Dak has accomplished what everybody has accomplished outside of Patrick Mahomes. Why doesn't he just say
that? I learned something new, too, which I often do in audio files. Here's a guy we've spoken about quite a bit today, Damian Lillard. This was on TikTok. I'll be interested to hear this. Damian Lillard's ideal current starting five.
If you could create your own starting five, what's your team?
It would be me, LeBron, Steph, Kevin Durant, and I'm going to go with Bam Adebayo.
Bam Adebayo.
Bam Adebayo, huh?
Who's your big? Okay, I'll take that. I'll beat that team with Kawhi. Giannis, Jokic.
I'm sorry, hold on. You said Giannis, right?
Yeah.
What team does he play for?
Yeah, Milwaukee.
And what team does Dame play for?
Milwaukee.
That's interesting.
Damn.
Yeah.
Giannis couldn't get the start before Bam out of the bio? Damn, son.
So who was it? It was Steph, KD, Bam, Dame.
And LeBron.
Oh, LeBron, of course. Yeah, all right. We'll put LeBron on.
I'm going to beat that team with
Yeah.
I'm going to beat that team with Kawhi, Tatum. I'm going to go Kawhi, Tatum.
Giannis. How about Jokic?
Jokic.
Yeah. And Jalen Brunson.
And I ain't going to go Jalen Brunson. I would go Jalen Brown or Luka.
Man, come on. You know what? After the All-Star game, I'm out on Luka for a while. I need to see his feet leave the ground.
Well, listen, he plays underneath the basket.
Yeah, he played underneath the floor in Indy.
Oh, man, I could go Shea Gillett, but I could go so many of these. Man, I killed that
well,
team.
Well, I mean, here's the over. I know he's supposed to put himself on, I guess. We're overlooking the obvious. There's no place on that team for Dame.
He's got the six, right? He's got the 2 6-feet dudes that can't play defense. I'm good on that.
Unless we're putting together a starting five to, you know, take part in exhibitions during All-Star weekend, that there's no actual consequences because Damian Lillard specializes in that. Speaking of the Milwaukee Bucks and Damian Lillard, his head coach, Doc Rivers, the head coach of the Eastern Conference All-Star team, left the ESPN broadcast booth in the middle of the season to take over the Bucks. Since he has taken over, they've gone 3-7, and they're in third place in the Eastern Conference. Now, just kind of in a odd twist, replacing Doc in the ESPN broadcast booth will be J.J. Redick. Well, here's J.J. Redick, who played for Doc on First Take, talking about Doc.
Conference. Side note real quick. No one's going to react to Doc's audio there. We've been 7 minutes since we showed that audio. Nobody's going to react to Doc's audio.
Do you want me to get it for you?
We don't have to repeat it.
I've
seen the trend now. I've seen the trend for years.
What's the trend?
The trend is always making excuses. Get Doc, we get it. Taking over a team in the middle of the season is hard. It's hard. We get it. Just like getting traded in the middle of the season is hard for a player. We get it. Mm-hmm. But it's always an excuse. It's always throwing your team under the bus. They lose to Memphis. Oh, it's his players. Memphis was playing G League guys and two-way guys. And then you look at his quotes over the weekend. Now he wants to take credit for the James Harden trade to the Clippers working out. He wants credit for that. There's just no, there's never accountability with that guy.
Ooh. He played for Doc.
Tell me, y'all ain't friends? Sure, he's not getting any Christmas cards. Jeez, I can't wait. I can't wait till he has to call one of Doc's games and Doc's going to know.
He's going to call one of Doc's games.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I can't wait.
Those pregame meetings between the broadcast team and the head coaches, that'll be fun.
Yeah, I want to see that. Man, like Doc might sweat out. The steam might be coming out of his head so much he sweat out that Sharpie lineup he got.
It's you know, it's funny. This could really blow up in Doc's face. He's had a terrific career. He was in the perfect spot to just ride off into the sunset in the TV booth. I think he's really good on TV. He was calling all the biggest games. He was playing.
I'm still mad they got rid of Van Gundy and Mark Jackson. I thought that was the standard, in my opinion.
It absolutely
was. I really enjoyed it. Yeah. I didn't understand like how they just got graduated out.
Yeah, well, they did, and they tried to replace them with Doc and Doris Burke, and now Doc's out.
I love
now,
Doris, by the way.
Now J.J. Redick is in that seat. But Doc is going to be coaching in a lot of those big games that Redick and Mike Breen and Doris Burke are going to be calling during the postseason. So that will be interesting. Let's do one more. Let's hear from the newest Yankee, shall we? Let's hear from Juan Soto as the full team for the Yankees in spring training today down in Tampa. Juan Soto with the media for the first time in pinstripes. Do the Yankees have enough to win the World Series?
You tell me. If you see the lineup, you see our bullpen, the starters, everything. Like we have everything that we need. And besides the talent, the organization we are, it's just amazing. It's incredible. And we're more than excited to start this season.
All right. So what do they got? They got two of the best five hitters in baseball. They got the best pitcher in baseball. What else they got?
Is that enough to get over the Astros?
I mean, the Yankees have a lot of trouble with the Astros. Astros have gotten a little bit worse every single year.
But yet they still beat the Yankees.
Well, the Yankees didn't even get that far to face them in the playoffs last year.
That's the standard, man. Like, the Astros have been the consistent standard. They have to slay that dragon. I almost root for a collision course. Because to beat the man, you got to beat the man. I think that's something they got to get. That's a hurdle they got to get over. I think if they can beat the Astros in the postseason, the sky's the limit.
The biggest question mark for the Yankees is the pitching. I do think the lineup is going to be the strength of the team, and that's been the weakness of the team in recent years. The pitching has kind of overperformed in recent years to make up for the lack of offense, but adding Soto is just a huge add, especially
protection for Judge, because that's what Stanton is supposed to be.
And balancing out the lineup, too. It's more left-handed now. Alex Verdugo is an important addition to this. I think Trent Grisham, who they also got in the Soto trade, is going to play a role here. The Yankees lineup is much more balanced and much more deep than it has been in recent years. The question marks are in the starting staff with Carlos Rodon and Nestor Cortez and Marcus Stroman filling out those 2, 3, and 4 spots in the Yankees rotation. But you know, if you have a staff that has some question marks surrounding it, you know what can make life a lot easier on that pitching staff? A good offensive team. And I think that's going to be the key to the Yankees' season getting off to a good start. Their offense, for the first time in a few years, is going to have to carry the load. And it's not going to be just Aaron Judge. And they have the perfect guy alongside him to help in that respect. So that bears watching. All right, that's audio files. What we didn't get to is a little more NFL talk. Mike Tannenbaum, a guest on Get Up earlier today, some off-season proposals for how the New York Giants should conduct business to try to get themselves back to the playoffs. We'll talk about that as we continue. It's Barton Hahn on 98.7 ESPN New York.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, Bart and Han on 98.7 ESPN New York. Reminder, Anita Marks will be live from the park at UBS Arena on Saturday, February 24th, starting at noon before the Islanders matinee matchup against the Tampa Bay Lightning. And we are giving away four pairs of lower bowl tickets plus one pair of premium club seats at ESPNNewYork.com or on the ESPN New York app. Just scroll down to contests and submit your entry. Join the New York Islanders for every thrilling matchup in March. Take advantage of special ticket pricing for upcoming home games at UBS Arena and be there for all the exciting action on the ice. Get your tickets today at NewYorkIslanders.com/March. Pat O'Keefe in for Allen this week. Bart Scott alongside. All right, so we spoke yesterday about Mike Tannenbaum, your ESPN colleague, who I believe you were sitting next to at the time on Get Up, and his offseason proposals for the New York Jets at the backup quarterback position. His idea to bring in Russell Wilson that generated some response, which I think was part of the idea. Today, Mike Tannenbaum back on Get Up, and this time talking about the New York Football Giants. Now, here is his proposed trade, Bart. He wants the Giants to trade all the way up to the number one pick in the draft this year.
How are they going to get there?
Well, it's I'm glad you asked that.
What are the Giants picking?
The Giants are picking sixth.
Okay.
He wants the Giants to move up to number one and draft USC's Caleb Williams. And here is what he would give up for that. Obviously, you'd have to swap picks this year, so the Giants would give their sixth pick to the Bears. They would also give the Bears a second-round pick this year. In addition to that, the Giants will give the Bears their first round and second round picks next year. So how's that sound to you? Is that a lot?
That's a whole lot.
Because we're not done yet. There's one more addition.
Is this a Trey Lance trade?
There's one more addition to the haul. It's a guy by the name of Kayvon Thibodeau would also go to Chicago in that trade.
Kayvon Thibodeau's what number pick?
He was the fifth pick.
He's the fifth pick. So you basically giving up a proven fifth pick, right? Because we had questions about, can Thibodeau take the next step? He's a double-digit sack getter.
Did he answer those questions?
Yes.
I believe he did.
And, you know, I mean, thanks to the Jets giving him three. but hey, you know, whatever. You only play who you play. And you talk about double-digit sack leader. You're going to give him two first-round draft picks. Okay, let's not count the one this year because you're swapping.
Right.
But then one next year and a two? Yeah, that's enough to get you fired.
Not to mention that Kayvon Thibodeau, I think you can make a strong case, is the best player on the entire team.
So who's going to be your pass rushers next year? Like, you still have issues. You still have to go out and get somebody opposite Adoree Jackson. I mean, you got four Adoree Jackson. You hope Banks can step up. You got issues as far as, you know, your secondary, your offensive line. How do you address those? And then why in the hell would Chicago want to pay Daniel Jones $40 million?
Well, Jones wasn't part of the deal.
I thought Daniel Jones was part of the deal.
Not in this.
Oh, okay. He's not.
No.
Okay.
Not in what I'm reading. No Daniel Jones.
So where?
I guess if Chicago did that trade, they'd keep Justin Fields.
I don't know where it makes sense for – I don't see where it makes sense for them. Yeah, I guess they are keeping Justin Fields in that
is
scenario.
Ray, is this the cut of Tannenbaum that we have here up top? What quarterback trade? Okay, let's hear what Tannenbaum said. I didn't realize that was the sound connected to this.
New York Giants. It hasn't worked out with Daniel Jones. He has 1 year to go.
Oh.
So let's go all the way up to number one. In this scenario, the Bears keep Justin Fields. And look at the haul they get. They're still picking in the top six, and then they come out with a two, a one, and a two next year, and a really good young pass rusher in Kayvon Thibodeau
really
to pair with Montez Sweat. And now if you're the New York Giants, you get Caleb Williams.
And what else? And what else?
Who are you throwing to?
Well, nobody who you're going to pick in the. Well, actually, the Giants do have an extra second round pick this year with the.
Yeah,
Leonard
but
Williams
how does that work out? I want a proven guy. I want the kid from Washington. I want, you know, neighbors.
Better question would be who's protecting Caleb Williams.
Maybe they saying they got money, just cheese on the taco for. Let me check out their salary cap space projected for next year. You know, what are we doing with Saquon Barkley?
Oh, I'm glad you asked that because Mike Tannenbaum had some thoughts on that as well.
This one's easy. It's the Dallas Cowboys. Tony Pollard was mildly disappointing replacing Zeke Elliott. His production went down by about 25%, as Hembo reminded me. So when you're looking at free agency, the first thing you do is say, if we're going to go outside our building, who can we get in the division to help us and hurt our opponent? And trust me, the last thing the New York Giants want to see, if Saquon Barkley graduates this year, is him with a star on the side of his helmet. Could you imagine the first time Dallas rolls into town with Saquon as a Cowboy? And he would be perfect because he can catch, he can run. I think his pass protection has actually gotten better. And based on the way Tony Pollard played, I actually think he would improve that position for the 2024 Cowboys.
So today is the first day that you could assign the franchise tag to players. So Barkley got that last year. He's eligible to be slapped with the franchise tag again this year. I don't think that makes sense for the Giants.
Right, because then they're just basically giving him $22 million in 1 year, and then you have to sign him again next year.
Right, and then next year you don't have the option of the franchise tag.
Well, if they haven't used it yet, because technically they didn't use it last year.
Oh, that is true. That is true.
Which is why I didn't understand what the hell Saquon team was doing.
Because they didn't get any of the incentives, because all the incentives were tied to the Giants making the playoffs.
And all he did was get $2 million up front.
Yeah.
That he was going to get eventually anyway.
I think Saquon really wants to stay in New York. That was part of it.
I think Saquon's lost his damn mind. The place where Saquon should go, you got to go where a place is hot. And when they got money, let me pull up this team and see how much cheese they got to put on the taco.
All right.
Because they're only going to continue to get better. Okay. This team estimatedly has $62 million in salary cap space.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's pretty good, right?
That's not bad.
This team won a playoff game.
Okay.
This team has a dynamic quarterback.
Yeah.
Who would have been an MVP running.
Yeah.
He's also cheap.
Yeah, because he's going into his second year, if that's the team I'm thinking of.
He's going into his second year. He has Nico Collins,
yeah,
who's already a established receiver. But let's not even talk about him. The guy that got hurt, Tank Dell,
mm-hmm,
got two explosive guys on the outside. They have $62 million. They can overpay you, Saquon. And guess what? It's a weak division. Not only is it a weak division, it's no state taxes.
In the state of Texas.
In the state of Texas. So Mike Tannenbaum was correct in saying that he would send him to Texas. He just got to go 3 hours south.
Right church, wrong pew.
Exactly. He got to go to Houston. Houston can load the hell up. Houston already has arguably the best left tackle in football. So now you already got a guy that's dynamic at quarterback. I mean, they can continue to add to this team. Last year, they went out with guys like Sheldon Rankins. They went with Retreads. Remember Blake Cashman? Anybody ever heard that name? He's in alignment to get paid. The Jets couldn't find – he couldn't get on the field with the Jets. But he's on his way to getting paid. And they got $62 million to do it, and they got draft picks to spend. This is a team that is trending in the right direction. They can go out and get whatever they need, and they can pay Saquon extra because they don't have to pay their quarterback for three more years. They can wait four. But definitely, they don't have to pay their quarterback for three more years. Could you imagine Nico Collins, Tank Dell, Saquon Barkley in the backfield? Not since Adrian Foster and Andre Johnson and Schaub have they had like that type of firepower. And that's disrespectful even comparing Matt Schaub to
C.J. Stroud.
C.J. Stroud. I mean, come on, man. Saquon, open your eyes. They just not that into you, buddy. Like, if they wanted to pay you, they could have paid you. And now go out and go somewhere where you can be playing meaningful football next year in your prime years and you can get the bag. I guarantee you they'll give you $15 million a year. If you make the call, D'Amico Ryan appreciates running backs. And you still don't have to be the every down back. You still got a running back there in Pierce who's young.
Yep.
And they still have Devin Singletary, but they probably let him go. You still got Damian Pierce, who's going into his third year. that can take some of those in between the tackle tough runs because he's a tough runner. Come on, Saquon, see the light, man. Understand when she just don't, she ain't feeling you like that, dog. It's like, what's that, Casino? When Sharon Stone kept running back to her pimp and Robert De Niro was giving her everything she wanted. She just loved that pimp. Giving him all Robert De Niro's gangster mob money. Saquon, quit, bitch. Just understand, man.
Now, the pimp in this case is the Giants.
Yes, the pimp is the Giants,
I'm just making
man.
Sure I'm clear.
You know what I'm saying?
I
go,
do now.
Go and stay and make a family, man, with Robert De Niro, man. He's treating you right. Make an honest man out of you, son.
It's another example of how many possibilities can be opened when you hit in the draft on a player at the quarterback position. It just changes the entire dynamic of the franchise.
Go be Stroud's McCaffrey.
Because think about the Carolina Panthers are obviously not in that situation. They picked ahead of Houston last year. We just saw what happened with the San Francisco 49ers. They're the ultimate example, even though they didn't actually win the championship. But they got to the Super Bowl with the last pick in the NFL draft. So, yeah, C.J. Stroud turning into what he did, at least in his first year, just changed the entire dynamic for that franchise. All right, take another break here. We'll continue this conversation on the NFL offseason. More thoughts from you, Bart, and more thoughts from Mike Tannenbaum. He's not done yet. 1-800-919-3776. Your thoughts also on Bart and Hahn on 98.7 ESPN New York.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Hahn Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.